Congratulate Congresswoman Pelosi for becoming the Speaker of the House and the first woman Speaker of the House. This is historic for our country. And as a father of young women, it is, I think it's an important. I really do.
George Bush, the feminist, right? Oh, my God. What happened? Did some kind of fairy, and I'm not referring to Mr. Gates, Congressman Gates, some kind of fairy fly over D.C. last night and spread fairy dust, and all of a sudden all these Republicans, did you hear, what's his name, Burns and Allen, today with his concession speech, and all of a sudden all the Republicans are just like, oh, listen, we love Democrats, and, you know, Democrats are probably more patriotic than we are, and we're going to reach across the aisle, and oh my God! And now Bush is a feminist. Reminds me of my two daughters. Put your two daughters in uniform. Let them go serve in the military for a while, George. That'll be a good start for Barbara and the other one. So Makaka, Mr. Makaka steps aside and gives the balance of power to the Senate Democrats because, he says, he wants to spare the taxpayers money. and because his is a purpose-driven life, something like that. Did you listen to that? You know, I got an email here right before showtime. Somebody said, look, the reason Burns and Allen... Yeah, it reminds me of George Burns and Gracie Allen, yeah. The reason Burns and Allen stepped aside, or whatever they did, whoever it was that conceded without recalls, is because the Republicans just didn't want to get into all that vote recount, let's take a look inside the machines nonsense, because if so, then that's going to screw things up for the Republicans in 08. Because remember, in 08, they're planning on trying to steal the election again. Why not? Oh, it's from Simon in the UK, one of our Brit listeners. He says, to me, there's only one reason the repukes conceded today. That reason being that if Allen and Burns had fought on, it would expose the GOP's election fraud apparatus, which they will want preserved to try and steal the presidency again in 08. For this reason, the Democratic House should support Dennis Kucinich's bill, H.R. 6200, a bill to demand paper ballots and manual hand counts nationwide. And then he lists Kucinich's website, kucinich.us. Simon, who lives not far from London in the U.K., he's a Brit. He's not an expat American, I don't think. I think he's a Brit. He knows more about our system of government than I would ever figure out about the UK's. And regarding that very topic, Deborah Bowen in California, Deborah Bowen has won the office of California Secretary of State. And in doing that, she defeated Schwarzenegger's Republican, Bruce McPherson, and by, you know, a comfortable margin. Now, here's what Steve sent this to me. It says, Secretary of State Bowen will require any voting machine company that wants to do business in California to use open source software code to run their machines. All right! And to submit the hardware for independent inspection. You go, Secretary Bowen. And as Steve writes, thus most likely Diebold will be leaving California because they will not allow their machines to be examined nor run on open source code. And for good reason, because their machines and software are as crooked as a $3 bill. There have even been rumors now in the business community that Diebold may be planning on shutting down their voting machine division. And Steve adds, Diebold makes spine safes and ATMs, and their ATMs provide a paper receipt for each transaction. Fancy that, huh? Let them stick with that and get the hell out of the election business. So thanks to, that's one of those races. There were so many so-called down-ballot races that around the country most of us did not pay, obviously, that much attention to. And that was one of the key elections, was Democrat Bowen in California to be the new Secretary of State. So, hallelujah. Now we're kind of getting back to the Nixon era, and of course that could be fun. I mean, the next 2 years could be fun. I'm sure the Democrats can lead the country and legislate what they're supposed to legislate and undo some of the damage they've done and still whip these bastard Republicans until their backs bleed. I think all of it can be done. I'm hoping, Democrats can parallel process. They can multitask. They're not like Republicans who are nothing but large babies who want to, sit in the House or the Senate and whine and cry because they didn't get their way. So I'm sure Democrats can multitask, and I hope that's the plan. Who knows what lurks in the mind of the San Francisco Democrat? As she was, Bush kept referring to her as bring her San Francisco values. What the hell what San Francisco values are to me? Good food, a beautiful city. What else? Chinatown, the Castro. Oh, there it is. Is that what it is, Gabby? Ah. A lot of fun. A hellacious Halloween parade. Oh, my God. A lifestyle that I think most people in America would love to. It's just too damn expensive. Every time I've been to San Francisco, I look around, especially when I'm flying in. I never can understand how in the hell a plane can land because it is just, you've got to come way over, twist around, come down. But every time I've seen San Francisco, I just saw, my God, this place is gorgeous. I just want to live here. And then I look at what houses cost. And say, no, not in this lifetime. So a lot of questions hopefully will be asked. I hope the Democrats, like I say, will get out the whips, the ones with the burrs on the end, and just beat these Republicans until they're bleeding and screaming and crying and asking for more, which is what most of them will probably do, given their sexual weirdness. And I'm not talking about their gayness. I'm talking about their S&M stuff. Not that that's weird. Oh, never mind. So we're getting down to, what did the president know and when did he know it? And why did Bush lie to reporters last Wednesday, telling them Rummy was doing a fabulous job and he planned to keep him? Tony Snow, the snowman, isn't he all of a sudden just laughable? You know, when the Democrats, when the Republicans were in power, and you and I felt like our heads were going to explode after our hair caught on fire, Tony Snow could stand up there and be just as much of a smartass and a snot as he wanted to be. And we had to listen to it and put up with it. Now he's become like a joke. Every time I see Tony Snow now in the past couple of days, has it only been 2 days? When I see Tony Snow, I think, oh, my God, this must be a new comic auditioning on the Letterman program or something. This guy can't be for real. Isn't it amazing, huh? Anyway, he was peppered by those questions today about, what's this Rumsfeld stuff? And all he could do was quick, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know. He quacked that out so many times, I thought Simple Scotty was back at the podium. You got to hear this. We'll play it for you in a minute. And in more bizarre bipartisan nonsense, Bush welcomes Nancy Pelosi to the White House and claims he just wants everybody to kissy face and play nice. And like you heard there, he hopes his daughters grow up to be just like Speaker Pelosi. I love you, Nancy. Oh, my goodness. Can I touch you? No, that's not allowed. Oh, okay. The most divisive, bullying, half-witted, creepy president in history now claims he didn't mean it? The guy who went on the Pig Man's garbage program right after the oxymoron mocked Michael J. Fox and agreed with the Pig Man that voting for Democrats was voting for Osama bin Laden? The man who spoke to Middle Georgia crackers about Democrats who welcome a nuclear attack on America, and now he's all about making nice? Yeah, okay. And by the way, where's Dick? No, that one, the vice president. Did his heart finally blow the big one after Tuesday? Has anyone seen him? Are they just keeping him on ice, and literally, until Bush decides to throw him under the bus with Rumskull? John Lash, the man who forced Denny Hastert to actually campaign in Illinois, is going to join us in a few minutes to chat about the election and his future plans. Stick around, Truth Seekers. We have one hell of a show for you tonight. Then I'll know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that ever hit the big time. Oh, yeah.
Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two.
Our country must what? Nothing like having a few friends over for a cocktail or two. Wait a second, I thought you didn't drink. You know, I've got to mention before we get back into the fun and frivolity of this program this evening, just a personal sense of loss over a man that I met one time. Ed Bradley, of among other avenues for his talent, 60 Minutes, that's where most of us knew him from the most. Kathy and I also had the pleasure one time meeting Don Hewitt in Chicago, the producer of 60 Minutes. And Ed Bradley, to me, just personified decency, that's all. He was a good guy. I came out of the dentist's office today and called Kathy on the cell phone, and she said, "Have you heard Ed Bradley died?" It was just really kind of a jolt. So, yeah, I know people die every day, and that's true. But just a passing acknowledgement of his talent, and there it was, pew, shot right through the studio. What else have we got? Anything else, Kathy, on the notepad here? I don't think so.
No, that's about it. We can go home, which entails going up 8 flights of stairs.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Some odd. It's been very difficult to do odd little bits of news lately because everything has been so intense. And there's just a couple of things here that caught my eye in the past 24 hours. Here in the South, a lot of us religious folks, a lot of those religious folks really get into their Pentecostalism by reaching into a burlap bag full of snakes. And you've heard me talk about this before on the program. I've been to one of those services up in the North Georgia Mountains. And I'll tell you, if there's not a good movie playing in your neighborhood and the carnival is packed up and gone home and the mall is closed, the next best thing is to find yourself a Pentecostal church where they believe in handling snakes. And go in and watch. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat. It's pretty intense. So with the appropriate amount of respect, the newspaper up in, I think it was Louisville newspaper, reported on a woman who was bit by a snake at a church where they handle serpent handling. And she died about 24 hours later. Linda Long was her name. She was 48 years old. She was bitten Sunday at the East London, Kentucky Holiness Church, where reptiles are handled as part of the religious services. This is according to a Lexington newspaper, not Louisville. And she died at University of Kentucky Medical Center about four hours after being bitten. The sheriff's department there said... She said she was bitten by a snake at her church, so I guess she was able to talk when they carried her away. But now, the weird part is, in Kentucky, handling reptiles as part of religious services is illegal. It's a misdemeanor and punishable by a $50 to $100 fine. I don't know. I would just think Linda might have preferred to pay the fine. But on the other hand, for those who believe, Linda has gotten a quick ticket to paradise, and she's... hanging out with the 70 virgin. No, wait, that's a different religion. She's hanging out with her Lord and Savior. Snake handling, of course, is based on that passage in the Bible. Just a nonsensical, nothing throw. Oh, that's right. If people who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible got to try everything. I can't wait till somebody builds something 40 cubits by 40 cubits by 40 cubits and then tries to float it and then tries to put two of every living creature. Oh, never mind. But there's a passage in the Bible that says a sign of the true believer is the power to, quote, take up serpents, end quote, without being harmed. Well, church officials could not be reached for comment. There was a message on the answering machine said they were out catching more snakes, and return the call later. The doctor, James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, says he doesn't have enough time to help the Reverend Ted Haggard get well or get sicker. So Dr. James has withdrawn from the team overseeing the counseling for the poor, screwed up, twisted into knots Reverend Ted, the pastor who was fired and resigned and stands right now on the very precipice of hell because of his gay sex and drug use, according to the true believers, the ones that do and do not handle snakes. Two other members of this team, pastors Jack Hayford of the Church of the Way in Van Nuys, California, and Tommy Barnett of the First Assembly of God right there in Phoenix, declined to comment.
Well, I can understand why he wouldn't have time. I mean, that would have to be a 36-hour-a-day job trying to cure Haggard.
You think? All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. So anyway, just to follow up on this, Dr. James Dobson, the head of Focus on the Family. I guess Haggard's family is just not that important. His wife and his five children just aren't that important to Reverend James. So, Dr. James has decided to get out of the counseling business, at least where it concerns the Reverend Ted.
It makes you wonder if his main advice was going to take him in the shower and show him his penis.
Well, that's what Dr. James says men should do for their sons, is take in the shower, show them their penis, and that'll make them show the little boy the great big daddy's huge, enormous penis, and that will make the little boy something.
Make him straight. Scare him straight.
Scare him straight.
Yeah, because nothing says straight guy more than being in the shower naked with a big man and a little boy, man. There's a scene straight out of heterosexual Christianity.
Anyway, Tommy Barnett, who is right there at the First Assembly of God in the home of our flagship station, KPHX, in Phoenix, Tommy Barnett says nothing. And Jack Hayford, who's pastored Church on the Way, in Van Nuys, California. Those are the other two, and they had no comment. But the counseling process, though, for Reverend Ted could take years, according to those who know this sort of thing. I don't know what they're... You know, did Jesus ever say he didn't have time? As far as you know, when I read the Bible, and I've read it several times, I don't see anything in the New Testament that says... And Jesus spake, saying, look, dudes, I don't have time. I got things to do. I can't get to Lazarus right now, okay? I can't go up on the do the sermon. Okay, I don't have time. Mary Magdalene and I are Scheduled for lunch. I'm sorry. I'm out of here. Goodbye. You take it. You go raise Lazarus from the dead. You go turn the water into wine. My God. Okay, well, that's all right. I'm expecting something, somebody who had something called Focus on the Family to be sincere. Oh, please. Email from Rich in San Ramon, California. San Francisco values. Mike, what are San Francisco values? Always have been, always will be. Peace and love. Yeah, okay, Rich. That's right. I should have said that myself. Dean in Connecticut, quick email. In the summer of 1995, I attended the first annual Newport Rhythm and Blues Festival in Rhode Island. The outdoor concert was held at Fort Adams State Park, just like the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals. The MC that day was Ed Bradley. Initially, I was surprised, but Bradley explained to the audience that he had started out in broadcasting in the 50s as an R&B disc jockey. His knowledge of the artists who performed that day, such as Clarence Carter, Alan Toussaint, Ruth Brown, Charles Brown, and the Five Blind Boys of Alabama, was impressive, as was his choice of wardrobe. It was a particularly hot Saturday afternoon, and Bradley was dressed for it in Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. Rest in peace, Brother Ed. As an R&B DJ myself, I'll do my best to keep the music that you loved alive and kicking in the 21st century. And that's from Dean in Connecticut. Thanks, Dean. That was very nicely said. Very nicely said. All right, as promised, John Lash is on the line with us. John Lash is the man who is going to represent the district, now held by Dennis Hastert, because apparently John is going to be an open seat at some point, and I'm sure you and your team are going to go back to work, right?
Well, you seem to have, you must have a bug in our office.
I'm sorry, I can't reveal my sources.
All right.
I hope that's what's going to happen because, as a matter of fact, somebody who was hanging out with you and your group on election night did send me an email that said that might be the idea that Hastert apparently, he recognizes a pig in a poke when he sees one. If he retires now as Speaker, doesn't he get a lot more than if he just retires as a member of the House?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to speculate down that road. I think it's $50,000, and the analogy I use is kind of, Denny Hastert's job's kind of like he's been managing the hotel, and now he's got to be the bellboy, and all the people that he's irritated get to walk by him every day and ask him how he's doing. He's not going to be able to bring a penny back to the district because the Democrats have the House, and he might as well retire, so.
Yeah. Well, my source also told me that things were not gloom and doom in your campaign headquarters election night. As a matter of fact, you folks were pleased with what you had done up to that point. And even as the returns came in showing that Hastert was going to, get at least nominally reelected. Is that true? You folks were not all gloom and doom?
Well, it was a very exciting night for America. I mean, we won back the House, and I think all of America should be happy now that we can head in a new direction under new leadership that's not going to rubber stamp everything that George Bush does.
That's right.
We certainly, the little fish got away, but we got the big fish, and I shared that moment with about 200 new close friends who have never been involved in politics and are committed to changing our country for the good, so...
Well, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. People that up to this point have not been involved, and now they are. And it's that kind of energy that's going to sustain what I hope is a political revolution, anyway, that will just put decent people back into office. And for the most part, that means Democrats.
Democrats and, in forwarding the progressive agenda, we've got a long ways to go towards national health care. I don't know how the election turnout is going to affect the war in Iraq, but publicly financed campaigns are a long way off under any party rule right now. So there's a lot that would be great for the America as a country take politics back to the people, which is on my agenda.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep your website up? Is it john06.com?
We're at john06.com still. We have bought john08.com. We had that. several months ago, and we're going to wait and see what happens. I was one of three people to call the State Board of Elections to ask if there would be what the rules were for a special election. All three people were calling about the 14th district. So, mm-hmm.
So you might, any chance you might also glom up john06.5.com?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we'll do at that point.
Well, because if the rumors are true, I mean, Hastert, I know, this is something else I know, Hastert has some health problems. I don't think he wants to stick around where he has to constantly refer to Madam Speaker. I just don't think Hastert could handle something like that. All of his running partners, his rat partners, have either been indicted or defeated, or they're waiting to be put on trial. You know, that's no fun when all of a sudden the clubhouse has been emptied out and everyone has become a co-conspirator, and the new group coming in are talking about cooperation and forwarding an agenda and getting things done, and you're kind of standing there going, oops, well, maybe I ought to go home.
Right.
So maybe he will go home. I think that would certainly benefit the country. And I hope that you are going to be, you weren't made this the other night, but I hope you're going to be the congressman from the 14th.
Yeah, we're going to keep working hard towards that, you know, to take this seat for the Democratic Party and to, you know, change the direction in Congress. We'll see what the Democrats do. I have hope for our country, that's for sure.
That's for sure. John, please stay in touch. And if you do decide to do what you may decide to do, God, I sound like Rumsfeld. If you do decide to do what you may decide to do, by that point, we will probably have an affiliate in the Chicago area. So stay in touch, and we'll chat online and add our little 2 cents worth to try to get you where you should be, and that's in Washington. You ran a hell of a fight, and John, thanks for coming on the program, okay?
Well, if you have an affiliate in Chicago, we might want to announce on your site. So I don't know who my source is, but hopefully they'll let you know when we throw our hat in the ring again.
Somebody that thinks very highly of you, pal. Trust me.
All right,
John. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Take care, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right. John Lash. And if you excuse me, if you want to get on an early run here to help John get elected, you know what to do. It's up to you. excuse me. This is from one more email here. This is from Sharon in Houston. She writes, "Hi, Michael. I listen to your online stream. Here in Houston, the only liberal radio we get is Pacifica KPFT, and we're lucky to have that. This is my fantasy," Sharon writes. "On the day that the new Congress is sworn in, all the repukes have sharpened their knives, and they commit mass harakiri on the Capitol steps because the Speaker of the House is going to be a girl." But then they have no honor to be disgraced, so that's just a dream. I want to see if Fat Denny Hastert turn blue around the gills every time he has to say Madam Speaker. Hey, we're on the same wavelength here, Sharon. This is not the time to play nice. This is a time to investigate. This is a time for a blizzard of subpoenas. Sharon in Houston. P.S. My first political awareness was my mom bitching about, quote, that bastard Richard Nixon, end quote, and how he, quote, smeared Helen Gahagan Douglas, end quote. That was a bit before my time. When I went off to the first grade in the fall of 60, I wore a JFK button. Oh, my God, that goes back to Orange County, California in, what, the 1948 congressional election? Here's a little song for Denny Hastert from one of my paisans. I'm Italian, Denny, but I think you'll get the drift of this.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. If there is a theme tonight or a question on the table, and I'd like there to be one, And I realize this might be like talk radio from the 70s, but still, just as you, if you do call in tonight, whatever you want to talk about, maybe you could also just comment on what do you expect will happen now that the legislative branch is back in the hands of normal people, and what do you want to happen? Okay, I don't mean to, you know, write it all down and call in with mini essays, but just, you know, what do you want to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Because it's going to take a while to, first of all, for the swearing in, the transition, we've got 2 more months before that happens. So, and the Bush crime family can do an enormous amount of damage between now and then. So, anyway, what you feel about that. And we're going to have the sound for you coming up right after the top of the hour here, too. So that's kind of what we got planned for the rest of the program. This comes from rawstory.com. Conservative activist Richard Viguerie, he's one of the people who is considered one of the fathers of the modern conservative political movement in this country after Barry Goldwater. Richard Viguerie, who started out with mailing lists and helped get Ronald Reagan into office, Pappy Bush into office, on and on and on. Anyway, here's what it says. Conservative activist Richard Viguerie has released a statement that blasts the GOP's congressional leadership in the wake of the loss of both the House and the Senate. Viguerie says, quote, every single member of the Republican leadership in the House should be replaced. They have failed the conservatives who put them in office, and they have failed the people of this country, end quote. Woo. Viguerie goes on to attack what he describes as, quote, the big business wing of the Republican Party, end quote, and urges Republican leaders to, quote, get out of the way and let a new generation of young, principled conservatives take their place, end quote. Viguerie goes on to say, quote, congressional Republicans should move as fast as they can to distance themselves from the Bush White House. That's the only way to come back from this disaster, end quote. And then he adds, quote, yesterday's midterm elections were a referendum on George W. Bush and his war in Iraq. Voters couldn't vote to fire Bush, so they did the next best thing. They fired his party in the House and the Senate and the state houses around the nation. And then, end quote. And then Viguerie says this, quote, this election was also a referendum on the so-called neoconservatives, the big government Republicans who took us into a nation-building war while they busted the budget and enriched big business and the K Street lobbyists, end quote. And then he says, quote, the only thing Denny Hastert and company cared about was holding on to power. That's what led them to become kings of pork. That's what led them to protect the likes of Mark Foley, end quote. And then this from Richard Viguerie, quote, one thing this election was not is a repudiation of conservatism. The twin pillars of conservatism, smaller government and traditional values, have the support of the same voters who threw out the Republican Congress. Not being a conservative, I can't argue that. I know that the Republican Party is about as corrupt as any one political party could possibly become. And the people who tout this Republican Party are equally corrupt, whether it is the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, or his little parrot, Sean Hannity. Any of these people on right-wing radio, they are as corrupt, as childlike, as anti-American as any group of political people I've ever seen in my life. So, my God, I'm agreeing with Richard Viguerie. What else we got here? Oh, by the way, where are the Republican callers? Now, you know, this station is, granted, we're only on, what, 3 markets, I think, but Phoenix is... has its share of progressives and liberals and Democrats, but it's not San Francisco, it's not New York. Phoenix has a lot of conservatives. Last time I heard, do I intimidate you? And I know you folks listen to the station. I mean, come on. Especially now, it's very obvious to me. We have magic things on your radio, so when you tune in to KPHX, lights go off here on the in the control room. So we know who you are. We know where you're located, and we see that you're listening. So I'm just asking, where are you Republican callers? I haven't heard a peep from you in days. I don't hear you, and it's not just this show. Kathy says you're not calling the oxymoron or the baby Jesus. That would be Hannity. Or even C-SPAN. Where are you folks? Cat got your tongue? Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo. See, I can talk with conservatives. Republicans are just sport to me. They're like our cat here when she gets outside and gets a mole, one of those little voles or whatever they're called, those little furry things. They're just so cute. You know, I just hate to see the carnage, but the cat, you know, is doing what a cat does, and that's kind of the way I feel with Republicans. Conservatives, I can respect. I may not agree with them. We can talk. We can. It's kind of like what Margaret Thatcher said after she met Gorbachev. You know, they had a nice chat, nice lunch, carried on back and forth. I don't know. There might have been some chemistry between them. But when the meeting was over, it was Thatcher who said, you know, this is a man I could do business with. So I feel the same way about conservatives. Now, Republicans, like I said, you're sport. I just like to bat you around and watch your noses bleed. But if there are any Republicans out there, I may cut you some slack if you'd like to call in. I'd love to hear from you freepers tonight, especially the ones who kept predicting big wins for your party this week. Huh? Huh? What happened? Come on, Bubala. I'd love to hear from you. The number here is 800-989-1480. All right? 989-1480, 800-989-1480. Oh, yeah, and Hot Lips resigned today, too. Liddy Dole, we may play a little excerpt of audio from her from this past Sunday, but she had to resign from heading the candidate committee, whatever the hell she headed. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Email here from Prairie 2. Hey, Mike, where did all the Republicans go? The rapture happened. We're now in the times of tribulation. When the Antichrist rules, anybody who is still here got left behind. From Abby. Mike, any call for impeachment by the Dems right now would be viewed as partisan, and the GOP would just point and accuse him of revenge politics for the Clinton impeachment. Again, they would get to beat the Clinton dead horse. I would hope that the investigations and hearings would be more important right now, exposing the evidence for the American people to see for themselves. If what I am thinking is right, it won't have to be the Democrats calling for impeachment or resignation. It will be the American public that will be calling for it. This way, this could absolutely neuter the GOP and save the Constitution. It's not the impeachment that is important. It is the investigation. The results and evidence brought forth from them, the Republicans, the rest will follow due course. At least that's what I'm hoping the Democrats plan on doing. I would agree with Pelosi on this if that is the case. Abby. Yeah, that I think that's becoming the consensus from people who are more rational about this and calmer about this than I am, and some of the hotheads here on the left fringe of the Democratic Party. There are those of us who would just like to hear the tumbrils turning and see the guillotine go up and bring an end to this madness. Although that did get out of hand, didn't it? But cooler heads will prevail, and I think the wiser attitude is to certainly hold the investigation, certainly use subpoena power, certainly bring these bastards in before congressional committees, and now make them answer, make them respect the Constitution, force them to be accountable to the American public. And when the truth is known, I think Abby's right. There will be a demand for resignations and impeachments. We are going to talk tomorrow night about the Gates nomination. Robert Gates is comes from the old Iran-Contra murder organization put together by the right wing in this country during the Reagan years. Retired General John Singlob, retired Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, a whole bunch of upper grade junior officers and retired real right wingers from the Pentagon decided to play war in Central America, clandestine war. And the result was, just in Nicaragua, they killed 50,000 people. 50,000 people were murdered by Reagan policies and Bush policies, Bush 1, in the 80s. 50,000 people were murdered. And they were mostly peasants and union organizers and people trying to bring clean water to villages and Catholic nuns and Catholic priests, liberation theology people who broke with the Rome. Don't forget, the Roman Church wants people to be good little drones and don't say anything and live your life of misery and poverty. Keep screwing like little bunnies and keep having lots more Catholics. But, you know, there's no chance to elevate yourself. You'll get your reward in heaven. Liberation theologists say, no, that's not the way human beings are supposed to live. So the murder that was perpetrated in all of Central America, but certainly Nicaragua, which was got off kind of easy, if 50,000 deaths can be considered easy. They just had an election there, and after 16 years out of power, Daniel Ortega has won the presidency. He had a conservative rival, one Eduardo Montalegre, and Ortega won. The conservative conceded the vote, but said he would hold Ortega to account for his promises to promote business and free trade. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, see, here we go again. Ortega is going to promote business and free trade. In other words, Ortega is a DLC Democrat, always has been, always will be. The Bush crime family, excuse me, at first having, you know, hauled out their lies and misery index saying, well, if Nicaragua elects Ortega, the next thing you know, the commies will be in the streets of San Antonio. Oh, wait, that's 20 years old. Okay, never mind. If they elect Ortega, the terrorists will move into Managua or something. So now the Bush crime family is pledging to work with Nicaragua's leaders if they back democracy. Hey, dumbasses, what do you call what just happened there? What do you call that? You Bush freaks just make me still feel like I've got fish hooks caught in my throat. I swear to God you do. This is not Castro's Cuba, where there is no democracy. This is Nicaragua, where democracy has been alive, in case you right-wingers haven't noticed, for the past 20 years. Like I say, the Bush thugs had previously warned that Mr. Ortega's election could lose Nicaragua and USA. See that's what we do. That's what we do. When we get a regime in there who is not absolutely willing to drop their pants and bend over for American business, we threaten to cut off their aid on countries that are desperate for the aid. Because for 200 years prior to this, we exploited their natural resources. Come on, Malloy. So we impoverished them starting in the 1800s, and here they are struggling to get out. Now we give them aid, and then we say we'll cut off the aid if you don't vote the way we want you to vote. If you don't do what we tell you to do, God! Anyway, Ortega says he's a changed man. I think he's dropped Catholicism. Yeah, he was a Catholic and has become a born-again Christian, I think. I don't know. 50,000 Nicaraguans were murdered. 200,000 in El Salvador. This is where Negroponte, the head of U.S. intelligence, cut his teeth, setting up death squads, teaching the Hondurans how to turn their country into an American military base. The entire country! I had a good friend who was in Honduras during the troubles. during the early to mid-80s. And she came back and she said, you know, the one thing I couldn't understand when I flew into in Honduras, I can't think of it, the main airport, the main city there. I flew in and she said, what I saw were airplanes, LL airplanes, and not just LL, but also Israeli military planes on the ground in Honduras. What's up with that? And so I checked with some sources and talked with some people at CNN and found out what was up with that. That was the Israeli military advising the counter-revolutionaries, the Contras, on how to fight the Sandinistas. Now, this is ancient history. Who cares anymore, right? Who cares? The only thing that bothers me is I can remember the intensity I felt when I realized what was going on in Central America as a result of the sneakiness, the lies, the deception, the mass murder. And now Robert Gates, one of the architects of this, is going to be made the Secretary of Defense if the Democrats allow this. Oh, see, here we go. Here we go. The Democrats can stop this unless Bush jams it in. They can still stop it now. They have enough people to filibuster this, and don't let this happen. Just like getting rid of that filthy John Bolton. What did Joe Biden say today? Bolton's nomination to the UN is DOA. Well, so should Robert Gates. If we're going to have a militarized department of offense, if we're going to have a department of war, as Peter Werbe calls it, in this country, a department of war, then by God, put somebody in charge who understands the horrific nature of war and how it is a last resort, not a first resort, which is what Bush wants. Now, we'll talk about this tomorrow. into the Gates thing, Kathy, because so many people, for so many reasons, don't have a clue who this Gates guy is. You know, you see it tickled a little bit out there in mainstream media. Well, he worked for Pappy Bush in 91 and 93. He did more than that. In the 80s, this guy was a CIA operative who did everything in his power to make sure that 50,000 Nicaraguans were butchered, to make sure that 200,000 Salvadorans were butchered. That's who this guy is. So we'll talk about it tomorrow night.
And Oliver North married William Seaport and gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship if he dies and wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. Well, one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. All right, let's just play this little bit from George Makaka Allen admitting his defeat today. He makes it sound like, I don't know what he makes it sound like. He certainly does not make it sound like a Republican politician who just got his ass kicked. Allen's loss is Virginia's gain. But listen to this talking point. All of a sudden, all the neocons are into this instantaneous bipartisanship now that they're in the minority. Funny how that works. One day's nuclear option is another day's friendly reach across the aisle.
A lot of folks have been asking about the recount. Let me tell you about the recount. I've said the people of Virginia, the owners of the government, have spoken. They've spoken in a closely divided voice.
Yeah.
We have two 49ers. But one has 49.55 and the other has 49.25 after at least this so far in the canvases. I'm aware this contest is so close that I have the legal right to ask for a recount at the taxpayers' expense. I also recognize that a recount could drag on all the way till Christmas. It is with deep respect for the people of Virginia and to bind factions together for a positive purpose that I do not wish to cause more rancor by protracted litigation, which would, in my judgment, not alter the results.
Oh, it's that last
part. I'm motivated and believe that each of us is placed here on earth to do something well.
Oh, please.
I'm one who believes that we should lead a life with honorable purposes and a purpose-driven life.
Oh, please.
I see no good purpose being served by continuously and needlessly expending money and causing any more personal animosity.
Then sit down and shut up. The only thing there that made any sense whatsoever to George Allen was, which would, in my judgment, not alter the results. You're damn right it won't alter the results. Now, if we could get into the source code, it just might. But you see, all those electronic machines up there, George came back and bit you in your ass for a change, right? Because so many Democrats said no. And they overwhelmed the programs that were written to make sure that every third boat got thrown in the trash or into cyberspace someplace. What do you say here? I'm motivated and believe that each of us is placed here on earth to do something well. Well, in your case, punk, hurling racial slurs and jamming phones, that must be your special gifts then, right? I see no good purpose being served by continuously and needlessly expending money and causing any more personal animosity. Yeah, especially since you're sure to lose. Oh, God. All of a sudden, now they care about the middle class. Taxpayers expend. I know. I'm still doing it. But these people just make me sick. That's all. All right. Bush meets Nancy Pelosi. More from the bizarre bipartisanship world where Bush just wants to make nice and be friends with all the Democrats now. Who he, now he claims they really do want to protect America. I'm just kidding you. They don't hate America. They don't want to see nuclear weapons. I know I said they want to see nukes come flying out of Osama's head or turban and land in Chicago. I know I said that, but no, I'm just kidding. It was just a political season for the past 5 years. Nah, Democrats say, you know, they're good people. Yeah. Now they got to work with him. Jesus Christ, what am I going to do now? Oh, Daddy! Daddy! Uncle Dick! It made me fire Rummy. I don't know what to do. Who is this Nancy Pelosi? I don't like it now. It's not fun now. I can't just do things now. Now I got to... They're going to make me do things I don't want to do. And they won't let me do what I want to do. I'm really pissed. And I got to sit next to her. She's got cooties. Rummy, I'm sorry. Uncle Dick, somebody. Somebody come and help me. I got to talk. Okay. All right. I got to talk. All right. I'll talk right after this break. Yeah, we'll have Bush Ray right after this break. He's sitting there with Nancy Pelosi. I felt like a rush. My face got hot and I broke out in sweat.
Go to war when you get out of school.
Hey, cheer up, kids. It gets a lot worse.
You're gonna have to deal.
Or is that a hot flash? No, wait a minute. That happens to women.
You're gonna be a giant mess when you get back from the war.
Santa Claus does not exist and there's no Easter Bunny. You'll find out when you grow up that Big Bird isn't funny.
Funny.
Laws and that's something I think that would really hurt him.
Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
I think it was that line that just made justify to my mind every time I've called him an evil son of a bitch. I really do. To make that kind of a statement, it comes down to this. The Democrats, America loses if the All right. Well, from that to this, here he is with his odd misstatements, one huge Freudian slip, you got to hear, and the bit about his daughters as he sits there with soon-to-be Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
We just had a really important lunch. First, I want to congratulate Congresswoman Pelosi for becoming the Speaker of the House and the first woman Speaker of the House. This is historic for our country. And as a father of young women, it is, I think it's an important. I really do. And we won't agree on every issue, but we do agree that we love America equally.
Really?
We're concerned about the future of this country and that we will do our very best to address big problems. And so I want to thank you for coming. This is the beginning of a series of meetings we'll have over the next couple of years, all aimed solving problems and leaving the country. So welcome. Congratulations again.
Solving problems and leaving the country. Now, somebody told me the other day that his family surreptitiously bought 850 acres down in Nazi land in Central and South America. Where? In Uruguay or someplace? Did you hear that? This is the beginning of a series of meetings we'll have over the next couple of years, all aimed at solving problems and leaving the country. This guy is about as easy to read as a 40 point font on the brightest TV screen imaginable, where it says, "Hey, jackass, you're giving away everything."
Now, what's funny is the official White House transcript has him say leading the country.
And
I'm sure that's what he meant to say. But you watch the tape. He said leaving with a V.
I know.
Swear, just like he said, he thinks it's an important.
And he said, this is historic for our country. And as the father of young women, those two boozy hellcats are really going to look to Pelosi as a role model, right? And dedicate their lives to public service. Oh, yeah. I think one of them, though, is working somewhere in a country in Africa, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what she's doing there. Maybe teaching the locals how to build a still. I don't know. So Pelosi's going to be a role model for the Hellcats. I guess Laura and Condi and Granny Babs aren't up to the task, huh? Huh? What, you don't want your daughters to model after your mother, Granny Babs? I'll rip your damn throat out! I'm Barbara Bush! Hey, by God, here the Houston Astrodome looks good! Look at all these little Negro children running around! This is better than you had in Orleans, isn't it? Yeah! Give me a baby to eat!
I don't care for Barbara Bush. He says, I think it's an important...
Oh my God! Let's play it one more time. Listen, I want you to hear this thing about the girls, the Hellcat twins, and it's an important. And I'm leaving the country.
We just had a really important lunch. First, I want to congratulate Congresswoman Pelosi for becoming the Speaker of the House and the first woman Speaker of the House. This is historic for our country. And as a father of young women, it is, I think it's an important. I really do. And we won't agree on every issue, but we do agree that we love America equally, that we're concerned about the future of this country, and that we will do our very best to address big problems.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for coming. This is the beginning of a series of meetings we'll have over the next couple of years, all aimed at solving problems and leaving the country. So welcome. Congratulations again.
What does he say here? We won't agree on every issue, but we do agree that we love America equally. Really? But I thought a vote for Pelosi was a vote for Osama. I thought Democrats just wanted to just get down in the camel dung with Osama and roll around and share stories of how we're going to rip America into little tiny Islamic pieces.
I mean, that's what you and your thugs were out there telling people not more than 5 days ago, George. Do you want to know what is the most ironic part of this election? Joe Lieberman. Lieberman, had he had the dignity God gave a chameleon or a lizard, would have accepted his defeat and by the Democrats and moved on. Something else. Go sit on the board of Harvard or Yale or Tel Aviv University. Go someplace. Go ahead. No. But he didn't do that. So he decided to run as independent after the Democrats in the state of Connecticut said, "We don't want you anymore. We don't want you anymore. We want this guy, Lamont." So what did he do? He gave all the Democratic voters in Connecticut the finger a couple of times, and then he ran as an independent. So how did he get elected? Well, it's very simple. Very, very simple. Every single freaking Republican in Connecticut, except a few to make it look good, voted for the Republican candidate. All the Republicans voted for Lieberman. I defy you, just off the top of your head, to tell me the name of the Republican running for the Senate after Lieberman was pushed out. Who was running against Lamont? Who was the Republican? That's right. You don't know. You have no idea. Neither did the Republican. So the word went out from the pig man to vote for Lieberman. Hannity had him on and did for Lieberman on the air what Monica used to do in private for Bill Clinton. Oh, it was a mess. It was awful. So here's Lieberman. Now, the Democratic Party, or the Democrats, said, "We don't want you anymore. We want Ned Lamont." Some uppercase Democrats came into the state and stumped for Lamont. And after Lieberman was defeated by the Democrats in that state, some more uppercase Democrats came in to work for Lamont to get him elected. All of a sudden... You see where I'm going with this, don't you? All of a sudden, Joe Lieberman, an independent. Now, Bernie Sanders is an independent, too. But, you know, he'll probably, for the most part, vote with Democrats. I would assume. Maybe, you know, who knows? I'm going to make that assumption. But Lieberman? Now, can you see this? Can you see this? Lieberman is going to be the most courted, sought-after senator by both parties than anyone, including his wife Hadassah, ever could have imagined. If the it's 51-49, but the 51 includes two independents, you see. So here's Lieberman literally sitting in the catbird seat. Lieberman can sit there and say to the Democratic leadership in a close vote, you want something? You want something? Huh? I aren't you the sons of bitches that told me I was defeated? Really? So the most ironic to me part of this election is the fact that Lieberman, arguably, is now the most powerful man in the United States Senate. Do you understand that? It's not the Senate Majority Leader. That's one vote out of 49 on the strictly Democratic side. All of a sudden, here's Joe Lieberman. The Democrats, what are they going to promise him? Joe, we're sorry. We didn't mean it. Hey, dude, come on back. You know, no more snotty remarks about BLTs. Come on back, Joe. Hey, we love you. That Ned Lamont thing, overnight, you know, one-night stand. We didn't mean it. Hey, Joe. Man, don't turn into a Zal Miller, Joe, please. Now, I have to say, if I were Lieberman, I would probably jerk him around just a little bit, you know. Wouldn't you? All right, Foxy the Snowman. We got time for this? Oh, my God. The boss is calling? Oh, Jesus. Hello, Shelly?
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
last time I got a call from an executive of the company I was working for, I got fired.
Well, you don't have to worry about this one. And it wasn't on the air, I presume. So.
Well, no, it wasn't. But, I mean, is this just a setup? You're going to call me when I get off tonight? And
No, I was calling you to congratulate you on your great shows.
Oh, thank God. All right.
I wanted you to be on the air for at least 8 or 9 days before I called in and bothered you like I used to do in the old days when it was just you and I talking on IE America Radio.
Yeah, I know. But back then, you were Shelley Drobny. Now you're His Highness, the boss.
Oh, gee, wow.
No, what's up, Shelley?
Well, you know, I wanted to call you with a bit of you know, inside story here in the Chicago area about what the goings-on of Rahm Emanuel, who's being crowned as the the second coming of the Jewish Jesus. And
well, the first one was Jewish.
Well, I know, but I don't know. I think he converted either by design or by, you know, whatever decree. But I don't know if you know what's been going on here with regard to a couple of races we lost. I know we're celebrating over the victories, and thank God that we.
Well, you know, we had John Lash on tonight. He's going to run as soon as Hastert bails out, and Hastert will bail out.
Yeah, and I know he's going to resign.
Right.
We all know that here.
Right.
But you know, I don't want to go into a commercial break, but if you have one, you know, go for it. But I'd like to give you some insight into some of the goings-on of Rahm Emanuel, who's getting
a
lot of credit.
Can we take the break now? Can we do that, Kathy? All right, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and get a little music playing here. We'll get into the to the break. Anything, sir, Your Honor. Anything you say, boss.
No, I'm just a caller now. Remember, I'm just a caller.
How you fix for cheese sandwiches? So I have somebody bring you one?
Yeah, you could it be a carryout about 2,000 miles away?
Yeah, well, anything, Your Honor. All right, quick break here. We'll be back with one of the big mucky mucks from Novem Radio who's going to tell us about Rahm Emanuel. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. We're talking with Shelley Drobny, who is really one of the two founders of Air America. A lot of that gets lost in the shuffle. You know, more people have claimed that they were the founders of Air America than I don't know. It's just it's astonishing. But Shelley was there when this company was put together. And then after all the troubles, Shelley has now formed Nova M. And Nova M is going to do what Air America should have done, but didn't. And yada, yada. You were talking about.
I'm a caller now. I'm not you know, anything other than trying to provide some information.
Okay.
Two days ago,
I'll play.
I was very, very happy about the results of the election, but
yes.
I was a little worried because there were two local elections here in Chicago area that were very disheartening. One was Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, that was a real tragedy that she lost.
Yes. Yeah. That was Henry Hyde's old seat, but I have to tell you, that district is so right-wing. They would be rallying for the Nuremberg rallies were happening here. So the thought that she could win that district was an incredible long shot.
Uh-huh.
Although Rahm Emanuel, you know, chose a good candidate, he gave her lots of money and lots of support.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million or more. There was a candidate in my district that nobody's ever heard of. His name is Dan Seals. Did you ever hear of him?
He's not the former singer with Seals and Crofts, is he?
No, he's the son of a Chicago Bears player.
Oh, okay.
Now,
this guy is
almost exactly a carbon copy of Barack Obama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got he's African-American mother and a white father,
mm-hmm.
And the guy was terrific. Great candidate, wonderful. And he ran in this district, in the 10th Congressional District in Chicago, And he lost by about 6,000 votes, which is about 2 or 3%. And the reason he lost is that Rahm Emanuel, who is the head of the DCCC, refused to put any significant money into that race. And you know why?
No, I don't.
Mark Kirk, who votes 91% with Bush, is just a lockstep in the support of Israel. And this district is probably one of the most Jewish populated districts in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rahm Emanuel is Israeli. And he's a good friend of Mark Kirk.
Right.
And for a guy who heads the DCCC, now we really did have a chance in the 10th Congressional District because mm-hmm. many Jews vote Democratic. As a matter of fact, a lot of Jews voted for Dan Fields in this district.
Right.
But if Rahm Emanuel was not to be seen in the 10th Congressional District, and he's an Israeli, and if he would have come here and rallied for Dan Fields as an Israeli instead of, you know, indirectly supporting his buddy Mark Kirk, I know it's only one seat, but I really do resent the fact that that Rahm Emanuel was more involved with the idea that he was going to support somebody who was lockstep with Israel than a guy like Dan Fields, who was pro-Israel, but certainly was talking about a peace process and other things. So, you know, I've had it with Rahm Emanuel and the group that pretend that they're loyal Democrats. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat on this, but...
Well, I, if you do get heat, Shelley, you can certainly fend it off. You and Anita have endowed, not a chair, but you have the endowment UIC, University of Illinois Chicago, for Israeli studies. Your credentials as being a supporter of Israel are certainly established, but you and I have talked before about
right.
how Zionism is poison. And I didn't
want to get into the subject of that.
I understand.
What I'm talking about is the fact that we have a guy who was a counselor for Clinton,
right?
Who is as Machiavellian as any politician.
Well, what's this going to mean now? Rahm Emanuel is going to remain in a position of power within
yep.
the Democratic Party. So,
but he's getting credit for winning a lot of races. Now, I can only speak to Chicago. Tammy Duckworth was a loser all the way. I could have told you that from the beginning. But Dan Fields was really a superstar, great candidate, would have been a wonderful congressman, completely ignored him, would not enter the district to support him because his buddy Mark
yeah.
Kirk, who I think he went to high school with, is pro-Israel 100% and voted for Bush 91%, voted for the war, whatever. And for me, again, that's an inside story, for a DCCC
sure.
chairperson.
Sure.
To not, and everybody here in the 10th Congressional District is up in arms about Rahm Emanuel not coming into this district because this Dan Fields, forget about the fact that it's one seat. This guy deserved to be in Congress, and Mark Kirk deserves to be booted out, and we had a chance to win. And nobody knows it except the people who live here. And I just want everybody to know that Rahm Emanuel is not the hero that everybody thinks he is. He's very selective. And he won because of a Democratic wave. I don't think he had very much to do with any of the candidates in all these districts that just fell down like ninepins for the Republicans.
Well, that's a hell of a story, Shelley. And I'm sure nobody outside the 10th District had any idea. It's one that we'll certainly watch. Thanks
well,
a lot.
Well, I just think that people should understand that if you're going to crown sure. Rahm Emanuel for being such a genius, I'm telling you, like, you know, there are a lot of fathers of Air America and mothers of Air America, and maybe I'm one of them. But Rahm Emanuel, I'm telling you, has divided loyalty. And
I got
very
you. I got you. Shelley, here comes the commercial break.
Okay, anyway, Mike, congratulations. Good
thank
luck.
You. Thank you. You got to like commercials. You're on the network.
Them.
You're on
okay.
the network.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Shelley.
Take care.
We'll be
bye-bye.
Back after the break. True Seekers, stay with us.
That we really know.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you very much for tuning in this evening. A couple of quick emails here. The Honduras capital, how could I have forgotten? Tegucigalpa, thanks to Michael and Roswell who sent that in. He adds, and you're right, the Israelis were very much a presence there, selling arms and sending trainers for those arms. And the Contras, of course, and I left this off, and Kurt reminded me, the Contras were terrorists, a terrorist organization that we supported. So, you know, when they talk about the terrorists in Iraq, when Bush does, and these remaining right-wingers, they certainly have a model if they want to look at it, and that is the military that they supported, created and supported, the counter-revolutionaries in Nicaragua, the Contras, who were nothing more than terrorists. The Republican candidate in Connecticut was Alan Schlesinger. See, who knew that? I mean, who knew that? Thanks to one of our Canadian listeners. And Prairie 2 says, Mike, your Lieberman math is a little off. Lieberman is not in that good of a position. If he wants a committee chairmanship all his own, he has to play nice with the Democrats. There's nothing the Republic-fascists can do for him. If he goes over to the dark side of the aisle, everything would be tied up except the floor voting, where Cheney breaks ties. All the committee chairmanships would be co-chairs with one Democrat and one Nazi. All committee votes would be ties. The Republicans would rather backbench than have to cooperate to get anything done. Lieberman will have to behave himself better now than he has before, because now the Democratic majority leader can punish him. Okay, I hadn't thought about that. All right, Kathy, there goes our Lieberman's in the catbird seat argument right out the window. And from AEB, who writes in, Mike, yesterday morning, quote, Senator, close quote, Al Franken on Air America said the results of the election prove, quote, quote, that the voting machines weren't tampered with to the advantage of Republicans. So, all the get-out-the-vote efforts were unnecessary? If the likes of Franken can think such a thing, what are less connected people going to think? Those who fail to learn from history, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, Franken has never been one to believe anything other than what Franken believes, I guess. I don't know. I just know when I met him, when Kathy and I and Molly met him, he was just kind of a snot to us, which is okay because he's a superstar. He's a megastar, and we're not. And that's the way it works out there in the real world. If you're a superstar, if you're a megastar, you know, and some nobody is working for your network, you don't acknowledge them. But, I couldn't care less. I've never had that much interest in collecting autographs anyway. I really don't, and I'm sure you folks are the same way. Big freaking deal, because somebody is on television. Ooh. Anyway, Senator Al, what AE is referring to is, of course, Franken's going to run for the Senate in 08 from Minnesota. But Al Franken never believed any of this black box voting, Diebold stuff to begin with, and Senator Al also accepts completely at face value the story of what happened, the Bush story of what happened in this country on September 11, 2001, which is fine. You know, different strokes for different folks, whatever. From Jean, she writes, on election night, I was watching MSNBC. When Rick Santorum gave his concession speech, Chris Matthews was gushing with sympathy over Santorum's little daughter, who was in tears and hugging a doll that looked frighteningly like her mother. Matthew said something to the effect, well, the poor kid's daddy just lost his job. I had this to say to Mr. Matthews and Mr. Santorum. Perk up. Didn't the president just finish telling us how great the economy is? Hasn't he boasted about how many new jobs have been created? Mr. Santorum should have no problem getting a new job, maybe as a Walmart greeter. Of course, the insurance won't be quite what he's used to, or the pay, but at least his Democratic replacement will help get a raise in minimum wage and hopefully a national health care system. So, no worries. Everything will be just fine. That mommy doll will come in handy, too, as Mrs. Santorum might have to become one of the determined American mothers the president is so proud of because they're willing to hold down two or three jobs in order to keep off welfare. Their daughter can just hug the mommy doll. I wonder if it cooks, too. Sincerely, Gene H.
It probably says, I don't want to touch a dead baby.
Okay, now, come on. Now, we have a little girl. You know how sad that'd be when your little girl is to stand there crying. Although Molly doesn't stand and cry and hold dolls, Molly will pick the doll up and tell her if it doesn't vote Democratic, she's going to send it to the back of the closet.
I think we should have named Molly Hadassah.
No.
That name.
It is. It's a great name.
It's fun to say.
It is. It's
Hadassah.
It's a great name. I like that name. Okay, what else do we have here? Foxy the Snowman. Okay, are you ready? Let's do a couple of these. Jesus, we're running out of time tonight, Kathy. And I'm sorry. I'm coming to the phone calls here very quickly. I do apologize for all these delays here. All right, the press corps, the crack White House press corps is really confused here, apparently. They hit snow job today with Bush's many lies and distortions and total flip-flops in his press conference yesterday, beginning with the huge whopper Bush told last Wednesday when he said that he had no intention of firing Rummey and then fired him right after the election. So this reporter says, Tony, on the Secretary Rumsfeld resignation, can you talk about the conversation the president had on November 1st with various reporters? He told one of them he was asked if he was expecting Secretary Rumsfeld, to stay on for the rest of your time here. And Bush replied, yes, I am. Tony, was that an honest statement?
What would you expect the president to say? Don't know. Let me get back to you. Trying to think that one through. The fact is, at that point, that reflected his thinking. But on the other hand, there were conversations going on.
Yeah,
need to understand that in a time of war and also in a political, it was a very good question for which there was not a simple and easy answer.
Well, sure there was, Snowman. Sure there was. Bush's answer was simple when he said, I'm keeping Rummy. It was also simply a lie. Besides, Bush admitted yesterday he fired Rummy because the Democrats won. Oh, please. And what does Foxy say here? Would you expect the president to say, I don't know, let me get back to you, trying to think that one through? No. How about this? I don't answer hypotheticals. Y'all use that crap old line all the time. Truth is, Mr. Snowman, the liar knew Rumsfeld was out of it if the Dems won. He just didn't want to phrase it that way a week before the election. Foxy the Snowman. Another reporter tries to understand the Rumsfeld flip-flop and why this wasn't a flat-out lie from Bush. And Tony's nonsensical answer made about as much sense as Rummy's famed known-knowns speech. Reporter says, Tony, do you have... this week there's been some back and forth about what the president said and when he said it. Do you have any more detail you could offer in terms of the chronology of the Rumsfeld decision? I think the general message yesterday was there had been discussions for a while with the secretary, and then Gates appears at some point. Can we get some more specificity here, Tony? Perhaps that would clear up some of the debate.
No, I mean, I've given you about all I know, and you've got a lot that falls within the realm of internal deliberations. I don't know a whole lot more.
Can you clarify what is known, Ben?
I think it's been said, but you pretty much summarized it, which is the president and the defense secretary meet regularly, and they talk about how best to proceed in Iraq.
How best to proceed in Iraq. No, that wasn't the question, you freak! Oh, never mind. Never mind. It really doesn't matter, Tony. You are comic relief now. It no longer matters what you say. It really doesn't. I mean, it does in an offhand, casual kind of way, what you say, because you are interpreting nonsense from this dead administration. Remember what Hitler had a 1,000-year Reich in mind, didn't he? How long did it last? Not 20 years, did it? How many years? 38, 40? No, hell, it didn't even last 10. Funny how that happens. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Come back for me someday. Tell me,
listen, we've never been stay the course.
Yeah, we've never been stay the course. Like, you know, we, like, never have, for real. Liddy Dole, the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, is resigning. Ken Melman, who was outed on Larry King the other night, by the way, by Bill Maher, and then CNN cleaned up the transcript. But if you the video is out there where Bill Maher and Larry King are sitting there, and Maher says on his program this Friday night he's going to name all the Republican big shots who are gay. I don't know how Bill Maher knows. He says, Larry King says, you will name them. Bill Maher says, well, I wouldn't be the first. I'd get sued if I was the first. Ken Melman. Okay, there's one I think people have talked about. I don't think he's denied it when he's been, you know, when people have suggested. He doesn't say, and Larry King says, I never heard that. I'm walking around in a fog. I never, Ken Melman, I never heard that. And then Bill Maher says, maybe you don't go to the same bathhouse I do, Larry. You gotta love this guy. Oh my God, you gotta love Bill Maher. Even when he pisses you off, you gotta love it, right? And Hot Lips Liddy. We don't have time for that sound tonight. We'll have to play that tomorrow night. We'll do it Friday night on the Friday Night Follies. All right, back to Foxy the Snowman. The briefing today. Third reporter tries to get some rationale for the Rummy removal, but Tony ain't talking. Keeps repeating the Colonel Klink, I know nothing. I know nothing defense. I don't know why these reporters even bother. You know, considering the Bush came right out and said the other night, I lied because I wanted to get you off that question before the election. He's already told us that. Crack. White House press corps, let it go, or are you just toying with the snowman, eh? So a reporter says, last night some of the networks, Tony, showed some of the previous statements, reminded us of previous statements the president made about the secretary that were very firm. He's sticking to them. We're hearing this from anyone we talk to. So what changed? What clicked? What changed, Tony? How did he get to the point from what seemed to be a very different point a couple of weeks ago?
Well, again, I think the president has great confidence in Donna Rumsfeld, but also, again, it's Donna Rumsfeld and the president talking about the need for fresh eyes. If you want me to give you interior deliberations, A, we don't do that, and B, even if we did, I don't have the insights you want.
Okay, but even if you don't have to get to that, but just in terms of what changed, something changed.
And like I said, I don't know.
Yeah, what is this, the need for fresh eyes? Well, Rumsfeld, he likes fresh eyes with maple syrup on them, I'm sure. Just bring him a plate of fresh eyes every morning. And Mr. Secretary, his breakfast. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. You know, some of these little cliches, they turn up sometimes in politics, they turn up in showbiz, I guess, these expressions like we don't need you don't hear these people say we need a different perspective. We need someone else to take a look at this. What you hear is we need fresh eyes. Oh, please. Jesus, God. That reminds me too much of Rick Santorum and his dead fetus. These people just make me sick. The need for fresh eyes. Last one on the Rummy resignation lie before the reporters just give up. The reporter asks about other lies Bush might have made. The reporter says, well, Tony, what other statements did he make during the campaign that we should consider to be inoperative at this point because he didn't want to inject them in the middle of a campaign? Is the rest of his cabinet going to stay?
Let me ask you, Peter, the answer is, I think what you're saying is, even though the president had made no decisions, and even though there had been no conversation with Bob Gates, he should have said, I don't know, get back to me.
He wasn't asking for me. He was asking, he wanted to stay until the end. He said yes, which in fact he didn't, because he wanted to find
No, you don't know.
Looking for a replacement by his own account at that point, and he could have answered the question, I don't do hypothetical, which he says all the time. He just said, I have great confidence in Don Rumsfeld, and every cabinet secretary serves at my pleasure. And
okay, well, we'll invite you to the next pre-brief, but
this is not a very straightforward answer.
You know what? I'm not sure. Look, I don't know. I just don't know. I can't help you.
I don't even know why I'm here anymore, guys. I really don't. Look, I have a pretty new tie. Isn't the clip shiny? Look here. Look at the tie clip. You're getting sleepy. Jesus, God. No, Tony Snow is suddenly completely irrelevant, except to be kind of the guy out there in front of the curtain with the straw hat and the cane, who shuffles and dances back and forth. He has to before the main acts come out. That's what he does now. Tony Snow is a song and dance man. Who's not very good at either, but they got him out there. Hey, folks, hey, listen, good to see you tonight. Remember, the 10:30 show is different from the 7:30 show, so we'll look for you then. Hey, don't forget, tip your waiters, okay? We'll be back in a moment.
I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. Through my trials and tribulations and my travels through the nations, with my plastic Jesus I'll go.
Victory is a country that where the Saddamists and the terrorists can't unwind the democracy.
His mind is like an unspooling ball of yarn, isn't it? CB writes in about Colonel Klink. CB says, I know nothing with Sergeant Schultz, not Colonel Klink. Okay. My producer made me say that. Phone calls? Sure. Will! Let's go to Will, who's calling from Michigan, has been holding on for 2 hours. Will, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Mike. Hey. I've been hearing about Nancy Pelosi's first 100 hours once January rolls around, and I can't help but reflect on 100 hours about 15 years ago that changed my life forever.
Can we talk about it on family radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy.
Oh, this is going to be a serious story.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, I thought. I'm sorry.
I was assigned to a Marine platoon during Operation Desert Storm, and we didn't engage in any combat, but we saw the aftermath of
right.
of the air strikes that were done on the road between Basra and Kuwait City.
Was that the highway of death?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it was. I can't really describe it. It was, I mean, just the smell was horrible.
Those were the. I saw some of the some of those pictures that were available. Will those had the bodies of the fleeing Iraqis were turned into crispy critters, and I'm not trying to be a smartass by saying that, but that's precisely what it looked like. They were just turned into crisps.
Yes, it was.
And you know, of course, we all know who ordered that.
Yeah.
That slaughter.
Yep. Dick Cheney, Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. What an evil, rotten human being. It's one thing to go to war with a half-wit like Saddam. It's something else again to when they're surrendering and fleeing and running and trying to get back to their homes or whatever. And I don't think very many people in that in Saddam's military, other than the Republican Guard, wanted to be there at all. But what were the choices? You know, go face the Americans or go face Saddam.
So it happened, and then this murderous, evil bastard Cheney says, kill them all, kill them.
Well, the Fourth Geneva Convention says that a victorious army is forbidden from attacking an escaping enemy.
Yeah.
And well, you know, even, that's exactly what happened in Operation Desert Storm.
Even back then, Cheney doesn't give a damn about the niceties of civilized conduct, even when that civilized conduct is involved in something as uncivilized as war. He does, you know, he doesn't care. He couldn't care less.
I spent 100 hours on that highway of death, and walking through.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine, Will, and nobody listening to this program can imagine what you saw. It's just impossible.
Ever since then, I've been an anti-war activist.
Yeah. Well, you certainly have my respect, and I can only imagine the trauma of what that's like. Only imagine. I don't have the ability. I saw photographs, Will, and they scared me. I mean, photographs normally don't scare me. They may shock me. They may make me hurt or cry or laugh. But those photographs scared me, and I still haven't figured out what part of me was hit by those photographs that caused fear to come up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, pal. Thanks for checking in. You okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
Thanks. Yep.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later, Will. Take care. One of the things that I think Pelosi, Democratic lawmakers are going to do, according to Reuters, big oil companies will be a top target when the Democrats take over the House in January. The Democratic leaders have promised to roll back billions of dollars in tax breaks. Huh? You know, this is Cheney. With Bush's participation to the extent that he knows what the hell Cheney's doing, which is probably not very much, unless they're absolute equal partners in crime, which I'm sorry I don't believe. I think Cheney is a murderous, evil son of a bitch. You just heard what Will said. But to give tax breaks to companies that are recording the highest profits, literally, in the history of capitalism. In the history of so-called free market capitalism, which is not free. In the history of capitalism, ExxonMobil and the rest of these, careful, Mike, pigs sucking in money, just billions upon billions upon billions, and the Bush crime family gives them tax breaks. So Pelosi says oil companies have unfairly earned record profits by gouging consumers at the gasoline pump. Yes, indeed. And she says that taking away the what was given to big oil in Cheney's secret energy law or energy agreement, and then the Republican written energy law last year will be among the six major tasks Democrats plan to tackle in the first 100 hours. They really did it to us, didn't they? Huh? And that's one of the reasons we probably will not hear from Republicans on this program. Because I think middle-class Republicans understood how they were getting screwed by their leaders in Washington. And how they were willing to put up with it as long as George would stop the queers from getting married. Or George would pretend to be doing something to have the little bitty fetuses or embryos preserved because each one is a snowflake and precious in God's eyes or something. So the Republicans were, and oh, that's right, and of course we have to keep the women at home and do we really want the Negroes to vote? Oh, yeah, and that immigration thing. Too many of these Mexicans coming over the border, course, you know, I'm a good Republican. I use the Mexican once in a while to cut my lawn or haul the trash. But shh, don't talk about that. You know, I pay them $5 an hour. You know, I don't, you know, is there something wrong? So that's why the Republicans traded their birthright, traded off being an American for that. Stop the queers, preserve the embryos, and make those brown people stop coming across the border. Now, I happen to not believe in just open borders, as long as we're going to pretend like there is such a thing as borders. But these people took it to the next level, which was pure racist hatred. Can't wear a sheet anymore, can't go after the Negroes anymore. So let's go after these Hondurans and El Salvadorans and Mexicans. Oh, especially the Mexicans. They look funny. They look like Indians. Oh, they're scary. Don't like them. Filthy bastards. So this is what the Republican voters do, knowing full well that their retirement was being screwed, their savings were being screwed, their futures were being screwed. Oh, and they were being told to submit their sons and daughters either to sexual molestation by Republicans or join the army and submit to murder by the non-pedophile leaders in the Bush crime family. And these Republicans are willing to do it. Oh, yeah, okay, well, sure. Because George is a godly man. And then they find out that Bush and Cheney, if they cared to find out, it was all out there, laughed at them, laughed at their religiosity, laughed at their fundamentalist Christianity, laughed at them, called them fools and morons and idiots. Who says that? What's his name? Quo? The guy who was the number two man in the Bush White House on these religious issues, and he's written a tell-all book now, and he puts it right on. John Quo, is that his name? He puts it all out there. They laughed at you. They mocked you. Now, if that's true, well, that makes Bush the Antichrist then, right? This is why Republicans are in a state of shock. All of that came during those last few days, the last couple of weeks, the run-up to the election. And Al Franken can kiss my ass. The elections have been stolen since 2000. Wake up, Al. Get in the real world. I know you're a megastar. Wake up, buddy. Just wake up. Election after election was stolen. This time, it wasn't stolen because the Democrats turned out in magnificent numbers, and the Republican evangelicals who are not going to vote for you, pal, stayed home. And why did they stay home? Because they started to find out the truth. George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of this Republican crime family laugh at their Christianity.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. I know, I'm already catching blistering hell from Kathy for not taking more calls tonight. And I do apologize. We will do it tomorrow night for sure. Thanks to the crew in Phoenix who co-produced this program. Ian Huff engineered the program tonight. Billy Foster answered your calls and associate produced. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program and handles the podcasting and downloads and stuff. You can get those at NovaMRadio.com. The executive producer of the program is, as always, Catherine Bay.
Ray is calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Been a whole little while, but anyway.
Yeah, I know you have. I know you have, Ray.
Anyway, the reason I call, I have a few things. First off, you have a lot to talk about tonight, and, you know, great stuff. In Nicaragua, the students are eligible to vote. As soon as they turn 18, they're automatically registered, similar to our draft, for the military. Dan Ortega was elected by a greater percentage of Nicaraguans than Ronald Reagan was by Americans the first time around. Anyway, okay, the next thing, you were asking about things, you know, going back to the 70s and so forth, what you think we should see in this new Congress. I think social responsibility is a key issue. You know, as a Christian, that's one of the issues that Christ was all about, social responsibility.
Feeding what do you mean by that, Ray?
Feeding the hungry,
yeah.
Clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless. Peter Morin,
boy, what a radical idea that is.
Yeah, you know, Peter Morin, who was one of the co-founders of the Catholic Worker Movement, said that the Christian manifesto is the corporal works of mercy, which are basically those tenets.
Now, wait a minute. The Christian manifesto is what?
The corporal works of mercy.
Corporal works of mercy?
Right. The issues of mercy that deal with the people, you know, body.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Okay.
Right.
And let's see. The other thing I wanted to say was that Cody Malika and I from Powers and Morrison,
yes,
are using the chat room to share with your listeners. And
oh, good.
I wanted to just plug that for you guys. You know, powersandmorrison.com, and then just go to the chat room. He and I are trying to help people out, you know, to get active.
Well, that's good, and you are demonstrating exactly what I don't mean to get all nostalgic here, but what the country used to be about. And yes, it did used to be about. There was a time. I'm not talking about the 50s, but I'm talking about there was an attitude that sprang out of a collective consciousness that did have the teachings of Jesus and Buddha and Martin Luther King as its basis, and it was the idea of we're in this together, let's work together, let's save ourselves, save the planet, save our political system, and what you guys are doing is very reminiscent of that. We've gotten very isolated, very almost like just disconnected from each other.
Well, it's basically we're not as altruistic as we used to be. You know, it's basically been me, me, me.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that's it. I wanted to give you a few days before I actually, you know, joined your new show to say hi.
Well, I'm glad you checked in, Ray. I hope you check in again. Take care, okay?
Okay. Thank you,
Mike.
All
right. Thanks, Ray. Fran is calling from Spokane. Fran from Spokane. Welcome to the program, Fran.
I am so excited. I can't tell you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, God. I've written you emails. I've done everything, and all I want to do is thank you, Kathy and Molly, for opening our eyes and ears. I have never been so involved in my life, and I'm 74 years old, and you have saved us.
Well, now
we made it. We made it.
Okay, but you know, our little bit in that, Fran, was just infinitesimal.
A whole year of listening to you guys and losing you, and now I want to know what to do about the list.
Well, let me go back to that, because I just want to make sure that people understand, you know, Air America, yeah, Randy Rhodes and Sam and Rachel and Laura Flanders and us, yeah, it was and Peter Werby Mike Newcomb, Dr. Mike in Phoenix, and I mean just on and on and on and on. There were people who did their damnedest to fight against that tidal wave of lies. So that, I'll accept a little tiny piece.
Please accept.
Of what everybody was doing.
What everybody was doing. I've listened to them all.
Right.
But every night I went to sleep with you guys. Every night. And now I'm on Arizona. I never knew how to stream before. And so now I do. And I sit there and listen to it in the day, anytime, and I love Ben for doing that for us.
Ben Birch, yeah.
You know, I mean, Ben on White
WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Well, I know I wouldn't get half of these if I didn't. So I am disappointed that there's only one station for Air America now, but they are coming back.
Oh, they're coming. Well, there's two. You mean Nova M? We're on the Quake in San Francisco, KQKE.
Right.
We're on WPHX in Phoenix. That's our flagship station. That's home. And it's my understanding that 8, 10, 12 more stations are – it's just a matter of time here. When we get our satellite uplinks in place, we're going to be available on radio as well as Internet and probably not cable radio, but satellite radio. Hey, there's the music, Fran. Thanks for checking in.
Betcha, and I love you guys so much, and all of you.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for the nice words. I do appreciate it. Yeah, it was a collective effort. I like what Rush Limbaugh said. We mentioned this last night. He said, "Air America." Well, that network wasn't a real network. It was only out there to influence elections. Probably one of the only things the pig man ever said that was A, true, and B, I agreed with. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.